exhausted. And sometimes they're just ready for the big day to be over. In preparation for the big wedding banquet, our text tells us, the servants are to say, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. And everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. The picture that this parable draws of salvation is really comforting. Everything is ready. The fat calves have been slaughtered. The meat is hot. It's been prepared perfectly. Galatians 4 tells us, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. After years of preparation and making sure that the time was perfect, God was ready to set in motion the salvation of the world. Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. After 33 years of life on this earth, the sacrifice was ready to be made. Hebrews 10 describes his sacrifice. Here I am, I have come to do your will. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Once for all. What a key statement. There is no way God is going to run out of forgiveness. There is nothing else that needs to be prepared. So who does the king invite to the banquet? Well, first he sends his servants to those who had originally been invited and waits for the banquet from the beginning. Culturally, the expectation of the day, when someone invited you to the house, you went. That was the cultural expectation. To not go would be an insult. But when they do not come, what does he say? Go therefore to the main roads and invite the wedding feast, as many as you can find. And those servants went out to the roads, gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. I had to ponder that. I tried to imagine myself as the richest man on earth. And if I could feed everybody three times over, would I have gone as far to invite anyone I could find, both good and bad, to the wedding? The king did not care who they found. If he or she lived and breathed, they were welcome to come. It's sad when I hear people wonder if heaven is really for them. They wonder if God really wants them in church. If you hear my voice this morning, God wants you. John 3:16 couldn't be clearer, for God so loved the world. That means God loves you. God wants you. Why else would he have sent his son? Why else would he have given us his word in holy scriptures? You don't have to bring anything. You come just as you are. The banquet will be full of people from all walks of society. There is no way you could read this parable any other way than God wants all to be saved. But just because God wants everyone to be saved, and just because he has prepared a banquet big enough for the world to eat, does not mean that the world will be saved. At the end of this parable, God tells us, many are invited, only a few end up in heaven. Why? He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Literally, it says, but they will not come. Jesus said of Jerusalem in Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. God gives each one of us the ability to reject him. When he offers Christ, people can say, no, I don't want that. And this rejection plays out in different ways and through different excuses. The first group paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. Perhaps they thought, I don't have time to be partying. I have work to do, fields to prepare, businesses to attend to. In their minds, business was more important than feasting at a wedding. You may know this feeling. Most of us have been invited to a wedding or a social gathering that we feel obligated to go to because of our association with that person. But we really don't want to go. So sometimes we conveniently forget it or throw the invitation in the trash because we feel we have better things to do, even though the party is offering free food and drink. Your time is more important. The second group responded in a more militant way. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Why would they do such a thing to someone who simply wanted them to enjoy a wedding feast? Well, the Greek might help us understand it a little bit better. The word for mistreat carries a connotation of arrogance with it. Remember who is inviting these people. It is the king for his son. These arrogant people didn't like the king and his influence over them. They were too arrogant to have a king, much less come to a banquet for his son. This seems to be an obvious reflection of the mistreatment that many Old Testament prophets had to undergo. Maybe because you have been unfaithful and busy that God is just going to give up on you because you keep putting him off. No, God is gracious with us and patient with us, even more than we could ever imagine. God wants you now, today, and every day until the day you die. Good or bad, he always has. He always will. He wants you at the banquet. He wants you to taste and experience his love and forgiveness. Maybe the question comes down to how badly do you want it? The answer is much more gracious than that. Look at the final part of the parable. The king came in to see the guests. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Here was a man who wanted to be at the banquet, but was still rejected, even with an invite. Why? Not because he didn't want to be there, but because he wasn't wearing the wedding clothes. Jesus then concludes by saying, many are invited, but a few are chosen. Wow. What is the meaning of this? It means that salvation depends on the clothing and the choice of the Lord. The one man who somehow got into the banquet didn't want to put on the clothes the host had provided to him to wear. It was the custom of the day of the rich people to provide wedding garments for the guests so that everyone would be dressed up. He wasn't nearly as sharp as the rest of his guests. Even though the host regarded him as a friend, the man didn't want to eat there on the host's terms. He wanted to maintain his own identity. That was unacceptable to the king, because the man chose to keep looking like a slob. This was a banquet for his son, not some bum. He wanted his guests to look perfect, so the host provided the clothing for it. When you come to the banquet, when you read the Bible, take the Lord's Supper, get baptized, do all the things where God promises you his riches and grace, salvation all stems down to one thing. Are you wearing the clothing that God has provided you? Paul describes this clothing this way. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There may be times, there may be days, maybe it's today, that you may not feel like you belong. But it's not how bad or good you feel. It's about Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. Let me say it again. If you believe in Jesus Christ for your complete holiness, you have also been chosen by God. It's as simple as that. When God looks at you on Judgment Day, he's not going to judge you based on the number of meals you come to. He is going to judge you based on what clothing you are wearing at the meal. That is what God's choice is based on. One day, each of us will stand face to face with the living God. C.S. Lewis once said, "There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who say, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'Thy will be done.'" God's will is that you be clothed in Christ and enjoy a wonderful meal of God's grace now and in God's glory in heaven. You don't need to worry about whether you are worthy of such a meal. You don't need to worry about whether you are worthy when you're clothed in Christ. Know that he wants you. He wants you here, at church, in his family, where you are his honored guests. Know that he wants you there, in heaven, enjoying a heavenly meal. To him, we say in faith, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.